Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come and see the man who told me everything that I've ever done. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But then he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say, 4 mouths more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' it's true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labors." Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Thanks be to God for the reading.
So we've come to the third in our series of sermons looking at our vision statement. And I'm sorry I didn't actually put that there is a PowerPoint for this. I don't know if you found it already. If there's a moment, and you might look for the PowerPoint, it is on the shared drive, I think. So today, we are thinking, our vision statement is to see Reading transformed by the love and the power of Jesus. This is a good thing. We want to see Reading changed. If you, like we've talked already, haven't we, about ourselves, we've talked about our church and how God's at work to transform our church, to make us a more loving and supportive in environment, even though I think we're pretty cool and pretty awesome already in the loving support department. Yes, we are. And it's very easy, particularly when we look at ourselves, because most of us are very good people. And we kind of think, well, I don't need to change that much, do I? If you're still thinking that, then go back and listen to the first sermon again. And perhaps as we look at ourselves as a church and we think about what we're doing as a church, what we're involved in, how active we are, then again we see that sense of, well, we're doing all right, aren't we? We're a pretty good church. Then perhaps go back and listen again to last week's sermon. And I think perhaps today, as we think about looking at Reading and looking around us, it's a bit easier for us to see the things that need to change. Because you only have to spend 5 minutes looking around Reading to see the brokenness, to see the things that are hurting, to see the places where there is significant need, to see the places where there is darkness and lostness. And actually, we don't even have to look very far because it's all around us on our doorsteps. And so this morning, particularly, we're thinking about what is Christ wanting to do to transform Reading through us. And it does all stem from this passage. As Sarah read that last bit in her prayers, Jesus, when he is talking to his disciples, he says, "My food," the thing that nourishes me, the thing that will keep me sustained and alive. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And Jesus goes on and tells his disciples, just as we talked a little bit about last week, to say that God's will is mission. God's will, as the, is that his love, his incredible, deep, transforming love would be shared with those who don't know it. It's not complex. It's not difficult. It's really very simple. God loves everybody deeply. And he is desperate to reach into those places and people's lives where there is darkness and sadness and hurt and bring about, through his power to transform, changed lives and a changed town through those changed lives. What is not to get behind? Is that something good? Are you sure? Because some of you look like you're not convinced. Is it good, Titch? It is scary to speak to the person sitting on the bench, especially if they look like a heroin addict. It is scary. It's not easy. I'm not saying that it's, you know, something that we should all be doing without any kind of challenge. It is a challenge. But what we're talking about today is as simple as that. I could just leave it at that, but you'd all be disappointed, wouldn't you? Right, before I embark on the detail of this, I just want to do another plug for this book. I talked about this particularly in the first sermon on having changed individual lives. I read this over the summer and it was absolutely fantastic. If God has been speaking to you, if you are feeling like actually this is something you want to go deeper with him, allowing him to bring greater transformation to your life, then I really recommend this book. It is absolutely fantastic. It's called Transformed, and it's by a woman called Christy Wimber, and it's available at Greyfriars Bookshop or on Amazon. But if you go to the bookshop, then that helps the bookshop stay open. Leslie's not here to give me a whoop whoop. But yes, Leslie works in the bookshop. Right, so I think that there particularly are two things that we get out of today's passage that help us to dig deeper into what does it mean for us to be the kind of church who are serious about God transforming Reading through us. Did we find the PowerPoint? Oh. Okay. Oh, well, Jesus will just have to do it in his way then. So, the first thing. Jesus is not down. Woohoo! Jesus is definitely not down. The first thing I want to say is that if we're wanting to see Reading transformed, to see things around us transformed, it's all about first and foremost bringing it all to Jesus. Because it's his love, his power that do the transformation. We are the church of Christ. We are his body. And so what we do is actively share God's love, his good news, his power. We spread the love of Jesus by being loving ourselves. God is at work through us. The power of the Holy Spirit brings about change in us and in those that we are reaching. The Samaritan woman is really important here. She sets us an example. She brings it all to Jesus for him to do the work of transformation. It's very easy to miss the end of this story because we're very familiar with the conversation that Jesus has with her. But actually, the end of the story is really significant in this. The woman goes back to her village, back to her community, and she tells them, come and meet Jesus. That's it. Come and meet him. She doesn't go into a theological kind of debate, argument, apologetics. She doesn't have to kind of prepare a sermon. She just says, come and meet Jesus. He's this amazing person who's just told me everything about my own life. That's it. And as those people came, they met Jesus for themselves. And they didn't believe in him just because of what she said, But they grew to believe in him because as they met Jesus and encountered him, his love for them changed them and his power changed the whole village. We can look at the needs around us. We can open the door and look out on Reading and think, whoa, that's just too much. It can be daunting. What could we possibly do, certainly as individuals, but even as a church family, to address the needs of everybody who's in Reading? Because the needs are so great. But the answer isn't that we ourselves have to do all the changing. The answer is that we simply need to bring them to Jesus. That's it. It is his work to do the transformation. He does that through us, and we'll come on to that in a minute. But the simple task, the simple perspective is that it's not, it might feel overwhelming for us if we're thinking about it in our own strength. But we're not talking about transforming Reading in our strength. We're talking about transforming Reading in Jesus and his strength. So the simple first and most important principle as we explore what this means for us as a church is simply this: bring them to Jesus. Bring them to Jesus. We don't need to be experts. We don't need to have all of our theology sorted out. We don't need to be disciples at the end of our journey. Those are all good things for us to be working on, to be developing our faith and our relationship with God. They're good things, but we don't need to wait until we've got everything sorted out. We simply need to bring people to Jesus. The Samaritan woman, she'd met him that afternoon. She hadn't got all of her theology sorted out. She simply had met Jesus and knew that he was the Messiah that God had sent. So don't wait to feel ready. Don't wait until you've got it all clear in your head. Let's be proactive in sharing our faith. Jesus' promise is that he will be with us always till the end of the age. And he will be at work in us and through us to bring his transformation. The second thing I want to say is keep it simple. Focus on one thing. It's very easy when we're looking at all the needs across the whole of our town to be overwhelmed because there are so many. But actually, God is not calling any one of us individually or us as a church even to deal with every single one of those issues. Because none of us, not as individuals, not as a church, are able to do that. But God is calling us to look for the one thing that he's calling us to do immediately, right now, without waiting, without hesitation. If Jesus had said to the Samaritan woman while she was sitting at the well, I want you to go back to your village and make them all Christians, make them all followers of mine, do you think she would have been excited by that prospect or petrified? Petrified. Any of us would be, wouldn't we? If Jesus had said to her, I want you to go back and change the atmosphere of your community, of your whole village, excited or petrified? Maybe a little bit of both? More petrified, more. Jesus doesn't. What he says to her is, go back and fetch your husband. That's from the earlier part of the passage. He asks her to go back and fetch the one person that she's closest to. The conversation, of course, as we know, because we talked about it in the weeks before, flows out of that invitation, that invitation that Jesus says, go and fetch your husband, that obviously the man she lives with is not her husband, and she's been married 5 times before, and so on. But what it shows us is that Jesus sends her to one person. Now, in actuality, after the conversation, she goes back and she calls a number of her neighbours and other people from the community to come out and meet Jesus. So, in actuality, she goes back and draws in more. And what happens through her inviting people to meet Jesus is that many people in her community are changed. Many people follow Jesus, come to believe in him and follow him, and the whole village is changed by that one small act of invitation. Thank you, Sarah. by the time Jesus has done this transforming work, it is much bigger. But it began with him asking her to approach one person. When we look at Reading then, what's the one person? Who's the one person that Jesus is putting on your heart? What's the one need that Jesus particularly breaks your heart for? He's not asking you to do it all, but he is saying, who's that one person that you can bring to me? What's that one situation that you can pray over? What's that one activity, one project that you can get involved in? Keep it simple. What are you looking at? Don't be overwhelmed by the whole picture, because Jesus Christ is at work through each of his people, every single one of them. And there are a lot of us here in Reading. But he's called you and he's called me and he's called us as New Hope Community Church to do one thing. Some of you might be familiar with the story of a man who walks down a beach after a storm. And in this storm, thousands, hundreds of thousands of starfish have been washed up on the beach. And this man thinks, well, that's a terrible disaster, but, you know, there's not really very much I can do. And as he walks along the beach, there's a guy in amongst all the starfish throwing them in one at a time. And he thinks that guy's crazy. So he goes up to him and goes, you're crazy. What are you doing? You know, you're not going to make any difference at all. There are hundreds of thousands of starfish on this beach. You cannot possibly save them all. And the man bends down and picks up another one and holds it in his hand. He says, I'm saving this one. And he throws it in. We can't necessarily save or transform or be involved in Jesus transforming every single person. Some people won't even let him do that transforming work in them. But we can make a difference and we can get involved. And if we're willing to allow him to show us what that one thing is, what's the one starfish he's given you? But let's look particularly at Reading. The challenges are massive. There are seemingly insurmountable problems. Countless things that we would love to see changed, that we would love God's power and deep transformation to be at work in. Homelessness, addiction, sexual exploitation, children without families, teenagers lost in a world which is very confusing. Refugees fleeing their country at risk of their lives. Loneliness. Mental health. The injustice of our welfare system. The prevalence of crime, unemployment, broken marriages, poor education, corruption in politics, mercenary business practice, an overstretched NHS, and the abuse of the elderly and disabled. I could go on. Our town is rife with problems. There are so many things we want to see God bringing transformation into. This is the big picture. What's the one thing that really impacts you? What's the one thing that you particularly sense God's passion for, God's distress over? The closer we each are to Jesus, the more we will hear his heartbeat for something that he's given to us. Where is God stirring our hearts? Is it individual people? Is it seeking him with the transformation that we would be more courageous when we see somebody in need, simply to talk to them and offer to pray. What is it that we as church can do collectively to be more effective, more powerful, more the people God's called us to be to bring about those changes? It's important as a collective community to remember that we're not all called to do the same thing. And so if we all got involved in one particular project, that would probably overwhelm the project. But some of us need to be actively involved in each of those things that God has called us to do. And so as we think about what it means that we as a church here at New Hope Community Church, what is it that we're doing to really reach out and engage, to be throwing starfish? What is it that we're doing where we want to bring people to Jesus and see transformation? There are many outreach activities that we do as a church. Where is it that you're already involved? Or where is it, if you're not yet involved, that God is stirring your heart to get involved? Kids Zone, an after-school club on Thursdays between 3:15 and 4:30. Most of the kids who come along to that are not from Christian families. We share with them the gospel story. We share with them the love of Jesus and the fun that we have. The toddler groups, most of the mums who come are not believers. And yet every single week they come and they build relationship. Many people, even amongst us here today, started coming to this church through toddler groups. Remix Youth Club. Teenagers who, what else would they be doing on a Friday night? Probably plaguing their parents. Or maybe the streets. Providing somewhere that's safe and fun and positive and uplifting for teenagers to come every other Friday night is a powerful act of transformation. And yet we have struggled all year to find people who are willing to be on the team. Leslie runs a book club. Again, something social, but something that is an act of evangelism, simply to befriend and get to know people and use those discussion around books. There are many other things. The mindfulness courses that we're running, Alpha Course, Gospel Choir, Community Fun Days, Pancake Party, Light Party, Christingle, Messy Christmas, Messy Easter, other special events that we do, being involved in the school, doing reading with children or being on the governing body, fire station chaplaincy, please bake cakes. They love cakes. I take them a packet of biscuits every week because I really, it would not be a blessing if I baked cakes. But if anybody else wants to bless them by baking cakes, please do. Fridays. Magda's on it. How are you involved in reaching out with the love of Jesus? Is there something among that list or other things you know that we as a church are doing which is missional, that just stirs something in your heart? Stirs in your belly, perhaps. Depends whether you're male or female. Not to be too generalistic about that. Come on, Tish, that's true, isn't it? Do you feel things in your belly or in your heart?
In my belly.
In your belly. Exactly. Exactly. Away to a man's heart. Yeah. All of those things. But there are many ways in which we as a church are actively involved, particularly because God's given us the remit of this community. We want to see this particular community transform for Jesus. And so every little thing that we do is an attempt to bring the love of Jesus in a transforming way into the lives of the people who live and work and bring their kids to school and do all of those things in this neighborhood. How are you involved in that? How are you active in that? It might be that you're particularly called to pray. Not everybody is called to get involved. It might be that God has called you to pray. Prayer is powerful and effective. We need prayer as much as we need the volunteers to staff these different groups, projects, outreach events and other things. Please, if you can't get involved, but you do have the ability to pray, which is everybody, please pray. Commit yourself to a time in your week. Schedule it into your diaries. Pray for the outreach of this church. We want Reading to be transformed. We want this community to know the love and the power of Jesus to transform their lives. And so please pray. It might be that there are other things that you feel particularly called to do, things with a wider remit than that. There are Christian charities that operate across the whole of Reading, which have volunteers from every church or from various churches across the town. Street pastors go out on Friday and Saturday nights to help those people in the town centre at night time. Ready Food, the warehouse, packing food packages for families who are really struggling. Bed for the Night, that does the night shelter. Engage Befriending, visiting the elderly, befriending them, just coming alongside them once a week. Rahab, the support of those caught up in sexual exploitation of various kinds. Frontline, a debt counselling advice service with a Christian perspective. Communicare, the football club have a chaplaincy team that work there. Street evangelists, those guys who go out on Broad Street on Saturdays and other times to speak out God's truth. Hospital chaplaincy, visiting at the hospital. CERDIC, the drop-in centre, our starting point, careers advice and support for those younger people aged 16 to 25, is that right? Reading Lifeline, a counselling phone line for those who are struggling with miscarriage or infertility or other issues associated with fertility. There are many more. There are so many things that we can all be involved in that bring the transforming love and power of Jesus into our town. Please, can I encourage you? Pray, ask God what it is that he's particularly laying on your heart, whether that's in a way that you can give some time or some energy or some financial support or prayer support. There are so many ways that God is calling each one of us to be involved in transforming Reading. This is not just something that we declare, that we say we want to see Reading transformed by the love and Jesus, love and power of Jesus. It's not just something we say, it's something we live out in a variety of ways. We live it out. Let's be people who are serious about it. Let's be people who really seek God and ask him how he wants us, each one of us, to get involved. Let's listen and let's look with him. What is it, Jesus, that you are showing me? The one thing, the one person, the one project, the one activity. What is it that you are asking me to look at with your perspective, Jesus? And see how, through my involvement, whatever that looks like, you want to bring your transformation. I want to end by just encouraging you to think about what a transformed Reading would look like. What would our schools look like if the love and power of Jesus had transformed them? What would our streets look like if the love and power of Jesus had transformed them? What would our neighbourhoods, our relationships with our neighbours and others around us, our work colleagues, our extended family, our friendship circles, what would each of those look like? The love and power of Jesus had transformed them. I want to see that happening. Christy wants to see that happening. Do you want to see that happening? Then let's pray. Let's seek Christ and his transforming work, that our town would be changed into the kingdom of God. Amen. We're going to move straight into communion as our response. This is an opportunity, a time for us to really allow God. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. We are nourishing ourselves again, not just on the physical bread and fruit juice, but on spiritually what God is doing. So as we receive communion today, let's be really mindful that Jesus is nourishing us so that we too can do the will of God.